We're here at Menards Bag Sale, asking shoppers what they're putting in the bag to get 15% off.
Paint,
batteries,
tools,
toilet paper,
extension cords, grocery items,
hardware for my cabinets,
snack items, crackers, and some canned good stuff,
shop vac supplies,
toothpaste, cereal, coffee, dog treats. I've got a lot of stuff to grab.
The list goes on, but the sale ends January 24th. Hurry in for Menards 15% off bag sale. See store for complete details.
Save big money at Menards.
Campaign team for independent candidate for the upcoming Ejisoba election, Kwabno Usoidiomi, says the electorates are ready to defend their ballots. The attempt of the former MP, who has severed ties with the MPP, to stage a comeback threatens the party's hold of the concert Wednesday. His team has alleged the NPP is hatching plans to win the election through dubious means. Isaac Boafo is campaign coordinator for Kwabno Usoidiomi.
It is with grave concern that we bring to light the nefarious schemes concocted by the NPP in their bid to manipulate Tuesday's by-election. Among the diabolic plans orchestrated by the NPP are as follows. 1. Ballot box stuffing, a blatant attempt to undermine the integrity of the electoral process. 2. Allegations of bribing Electoral Commission officials to compromise on voting day, a despicable act that strikes at the heart of democracy. 3. Utilization of military personnel to intimidate strongholds of Honorable Kwabena Owusu-Edeomi, a clear abuse of power aimed at suppressing the will of the people. 4. Deployment of police officers from different regions to seize control of ballot boxes, a flagrant violation of electoral norms. 5. Threats of power outages during vote counting, a cowardly tactic to sow confusion and undermine transparency. We issue a stern warning to the NPP that we will fiercely defend our ballots with every fiber of our being. Despite the desperate attempts to subvert the democratic process, Ejoso will stand firm and resolute on Tuesday.
Meanwhile, the group is alleging the NPP is buying votes with state resources. Mr. Boafo again.
Furthermore, we condemn in the strongest terms the wasteful expenditure of state resources for vote buying. It is reprehensible that such resources are not allocated to address the pressing challenges facing our communities. Ejoso will make a resounding statement on Tuesday, reaffirming our commitment to democracy and justice. NPP knows that their candidate stands no chance in this by-election.
The Electoral Commission has made clear that a party agent's refusal to sign at the polling center after votes are counted does not invalidate the results of that vote. Speaking at a May Day forum by Organized Labour, Deputy Chairman of Operations at the Electoral Commission, Samuel Titi, said while the signing of election results is a way of authenticating the said results, an agent's refusal to sign does not invalidate it. The following report has more.
The Electoral Commission has clarified the role of party or candidate agents in the upcoming elections. In a speech read on behalf of the EC chairperson, Jean Mensah, the Commission's Deputy Chairman of Operations, Samuel Tete, said the failure of an agent to sign an election result does not in any way make that result invalid.
It should also be noted that an agent refusing to sign does not invalidate the results. This is an open process of the Commission to ensure acceptability of election results at all levels and prevent any election-related
Samuel Tete also added that the EC has set to May 27th for updating the voters' register ahead of the December general elections. This is to allow those who just turned 18 to have their names captured in the voters' register. People who are above 18 but have yet to register for a voter's ID card also have the opportunity to do so during this window.
For this year's update of the voters' register, the commission has set from the 7th of May to 27th. Of May to update the voters register to include those who have attained the age of 18 since the last registration and those who for one or two reasons were not able to register during the last registration exercise.
Inspector General of Police, Dr. George Okufo-Dampare, who was also present at the event, assured the public of maximum security before, during and after the December polls.
It used to be the fact that we normally start thinking of election security in the election year. And we saw that that has become a handicap and creating problems that are avoidable. So we decided that going forward, election will be seen as a process, and the next one will start where the last one ended, and making sure that election security is mainstream into normal security operations. And this led us to the establishment of Police Election Security Directorate. Were it in existence for the past 3 years, almost 3 years, the directorate has become like a police station, which is open 24 hours.
Secretary General of Trades Union Congress, Dr. Yao Ba, urged for peace during this election period.
Peace in our country. Economically, we are not doing that good. We are really struggling, but at least we have peace.
The May Day Forum was under the theme, Election 2024, the role of workers and social partners in securing peaceful elections for national development.
There are fears of a possible grounding of Ghana's public pension scheme because a fresh audit report has revealed that the Social Security and National Insurance Trust, SNIT, may not be able to pay full pension benefits of contributors by 2036. This is revealed in the latest International Labour Organization actuarial evaluation report on SNIT. Labour unions in the past few weeks have taken on government for failing to remit some tier 2 pension deductions to the fund managers. According to them, the last time government paid tier 2 contribution was in June 2023, owing them 9 months deduction from July 2023 to March 2024. Let's get a breakdown of the ILO report. It says SNIT reserves are depleting. Total income will no longer be sufficient to pay benefits by 2036. It goes on to reveal more. It says that the total indebtedness to SNIT as of 31st December 2021 is 9.35 billion cedis. Late payment by government stands at 6.9. And also, late payment of SNIT contribution leads to 1.3% drop in investment return each year. Government shifts an important part of cost to the private sector by late payment. NAGRAC President Tenjo Kabonu has warned they will embark on an industrial action if the government doesn't pay the monies by May 2.
If they renege on their responsibility, the failures on the promise they made to us that they are going to pay the monies. If the 2nd of May comes and we realize that they have just given us a red herring, then they should expect us to take a very serious action on behalf of our workers and the future of our workers. We are not going to compromise on this at all. And this misbehavior should stop in our country, where money, statutory monies are collected and they are not needed to be designated institutions. It's affected GET Fund, it's affected health funds, it's affected district assembly, common fund. I mean, every dedicated fund is affected by this behavior of the politician, and cannot allow this to continue.
Executive Director of the Africa Center for Retirement Research, Abdallah Mashoud, says there are serious implications for the country if the issue is not immediately addressed.
Government indebtedness is inflicting the biggest pain to the sustainability of the slave scheme. Imagine government as the sole guarantor of the scheme, violating Section 3.9 and Section 3.3 of the Act 1760, which requires that contributions are paid on timely basis to allow time for investment. Government has consistently violated this particular section of the law by delaying contribution payment, and that is inflicting or hurting the social security financial sustainability. We're talking about investment outcomes. If you take the last 8 years, SNIT has recorded just three positive real returns on investment. The other five are negative, and we need to ask questions. Why are we continuously recording negative real returns on investment of the funds? Administrative cost. Administrative cost is the share of workers' contribution that is used to manage the scheme. Administration cost is very, very high. And I think it's about time the National Pension Regulatory Authority developed an expense policy to help check or control the expenditure of the scheme as far as management is concerned. Aja, the picture we currently have to be worse, considering the state of migration in recent times. Remember, the migration has triggered a lot of workers, active workers, moving out of the country. And once workers are leaving the country, it means we are reducing the contributor population. And when contributor population is going down as a result of economic challenges, migration, loss of jobs, etc., and pensioner population keeps growing, it affects what we call dependency ratio. And dependency ratio is just telling you where the scheme is going. Not very long ago, we had 17 contributing to support one pensioner. As we speak today, the number has come down to 7.
Away from pensions, the opposition NDC is accusing the judiciary of usurping the powers of parliament. It follows this week's Supreme Court's decision, which declared as unconstitutional a constitutional provision which bars dual citizens from holding high-ranking positions in Ghana. CDD fellow Professor Kwaku Asare, in an earlier discussion on the polls on Joy News, backed the decision, urging Ghanaians not to worry if the Chief Justice of Ghana owes allegiance to another country.
That would be very interesting to find out. As of now, we don't know, because to the best of my knowledge and information, the opinion is not out yet.
Yes.
And so we cannot speculate as to what went through their minds, but we can accept the outcome and rejoice about the outcome, because for some of us, this is a battle that we have been waging since 2006, when they initially attempted to disqualify Mr. Akwesi-Ajimain as Kufuor's nominee for the Ashanti Regional Minister. Mm. And then we had the Adamu Sankedi case, and then we have Mona Kwati, we had Charles Adubuahin, and then Jechi Kwesin. So I've always had problems with the way the court and the country interpreted Article 94.2A and also Article 8.2. Now, let me be clear about what has happened.
Right.
Article 94.2A has not been touched at all by the court by this decision. Article 94.2A has not been touched at all. That is the article that disqualifies persons who owe allegiance to countries other than Ghana.
While the NDC has labeled the decision as judicial legislation, listen to Member of Constitutional, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Committee of Parliament and MP for North Dai, Roxanne Nelson Dafiamekpo.
It's the same court that is, or that as it were, injuncted my colleague in Parliament from carrying out his constitutional mandate based on a matter before it, which is yet to be determined. But the person proceeded to bring an application on notice for the grant of an interim injunction to prevent him from carrying out his mandate, purely because the person claimed that at the time that he filed to contest as a member of parliament, he had not denounced his Canadian citizenship. And so on that basis, he was not qualified to be elected as a member of parliament. And so eventually, when that matter was determined, he had to go back to recontest. And then he won and he's been brought back or reinstated, as it were. And so for the court to now, after 48 months,
better late than never.
Yet,
I agree.
So I'm saying that I am gauging the mood of the court. Because Judge Chikwesten, it's still some aspects of that case, it's still before the Supreme Court. So would this decision undercut what is before them? Or their view in that matter will be different? So these are the basis upon which I had the mixed feelings.
It's been 25 years of consensual rulership and peacemaking in the Asante Man and beyond, as Otumfuo Setu II marks his silver jubilee as the 16th occupant of the Golden Stool. We'll be going live to the Menchia Palace for the King's non-denominational Thanksgiving service. But first, listen to a report on the Asante Hene's hosting of ethnic groups from across Ghana and the West African sub-region. My colleague Emmanuel Brykweku joins me live from the Menchia Palace, where the Asante Hene is making the day with a non. He's celebrating the day with a non-denominational Thanksgiving. He describes the euphoria in Kumasi today as one of a kind. Nana Boache Yadom, describe the atmosphere there for us today. Right, so these are live visuals from the King's non-denominational Thanksgiving service. Manuel Brykweku is the one monitoring for us. He'll be telling us more when he joins us.
Adumuara na mfia dionu numu ni wudu baitina benya isu.
yedia dance ya wa aduma kodua wodi adum no abepem samri de jira ya naso mano so abawanim en nano pe awiei se urade no pe biara nyane no free ne mpaso ne humi gunumu ye yare dom nyina free ne mu
amen
no nyina ne naso
amen
se uba
yes
ano pe bia srare ngo ne siesie no urade pue nani no hunu sunsu mu nyum eno ma urade pue nasum no onti woni se woni ne kasa oma ne nsaso amasumdwe mra obue nanu ama otumi ni akiri osori jina matamfu onyina nskata na tumi nyina mbre won ho asemfemma no urade ma obeyi nhyren ba bi obegina bia mo nhyren mfen shani mo nyam midi ne fie sha won sa ne yiri ya odia o Lady Julia, urade monyo yire pa emfemu otumfo won tunu fo pa emra na nia ne wira ho no mo ba yi nchechire ne wira won kasemu a edemfenchire no midi ne manyina anso sha won sa urade bue nkwada ya dwirim won tumi nsianwuma manana busia enye sronko emfen show di animonyam fa wuchani ya fasi otwa wo hushia ne ma o mayi nhyren ye huwa nhyra unana.
So that's the Menchia Palace where the Asantehene Tumfo Sei II the second is celebrating his 25th reign of that stool, and you heard some prayers being offered for him. We'll be going back as and when events unfold. Now, the often overlooked psychological problems associated with pregnancy and childbirth continue to drive many pregnant women and childless women into depression and psychiatric institutions. 38-year-old Sika, whose journey has been marred by such challenges, has been sharing the reality of maternal mental health struggles. Joyce Semefa Pesu's report read to you.
The arrival of Sika's child brought immense joy to her, having lost her first child. After that painful loss of her first child, she found herself under intense pressure from her husband's family to safeguard her second baby at all costs. Consumed by the weight of this expectation, she entered a state of hypervigilance, inadvertently plunging into severe clinical depression.
So I had a miscarriage during my first pregnancy. And when I became pregnant again, I was extremely cautious. I was afraid of judgment from my husband and his family because we didn't had a baby since 5 years when we got married. Everyone irritated me, including my husband. I would spend hours in front of the mirror, not appreciating my body.
Instead of receiving the understanding and support she desperately needed, Sika faced harsh judgment from her family and mother-in-law, labeled her as mentally unstable, and insisted on confining her to a psychiatric hospital.
My mother-in-law then thought I was mentally ill and suggested keeping the baby away from me.
Globally, about 10% of pregnant women and 13% of women who have just given birth experience some form of mental disorder, primarily due to depression. In severe cases, these mothers suffering from depression might experience severe symptoms that are likely to force them to commit suicide. According to the World Health Organization, about 50 to 57% of women suffer from maternal mental health issues in Ghana, with depression being the most common. Lead consultant for the WHO Maternal Mental Health Dissemination Project, Dr. Promise Sefoga, explains the various systems of the condition and attributed the prevalence to a lack of screening and policy.
The pregnant woman processes a lot of different thoughts across various things, including questions that she keeps on her mind. How is my baby growing? Is the baby going to be a baby boy or a baby girl? I'd rather wish it was a boy. I'd rather wish it was a girl. These are the things that matter to the pregnant woman. Okay. So all these can depress the mood sometimes during the course of pregnancy. Okay. And of course, some pregnancies get to develop other complications, which can all affect how the pregnant woman behaves. Mm-hmm. Just recently, some other work in Boko found the prevalence as high as 50.4%, meaning that virtually one out of every two pregnant women suffered postpartum depression or perinatal depression, which is what we call it now in Ghana.
The program's officer for non-communicable diseases and mental health at the WHO Ghana Country Office, Dr. Joanna Ansong, laments deep concerns over the insufficient focus on the psychological well-being of pregnant women.
The global community has paid a lot of attention to issues relating to maternal health, to the neglect of maternal mental health. That is, in essence, we are looking at the health and well-being of a pregnant woman through pregnancy to labor to the postpartum period. But we forget that when we define health, it also includes mental health. The burden of maternal mortality drops significantly, and we are neglecting issues relating to the mental well-being of the mother and also the infant.
I isolated myself, locked myself up in the room, trying to stay away from everybody.
In severe cases of maternal mental health, some women kill their babies. The growth physically and mentally of very young infants is likely to be affected by mothers with mental disorders. Prolonged or severe mental illnesses hamper the mother-infant attachment, breastfeeding, and infant care.
Some victims of the flood disaster occasioned by the spillage of the Akosombo Dam last year say they are yet to get their lives back as they continue to reel under the harsh conditions aftermath. According to the National Disaster Management Organization, NADMO, 39,000 lives were affected, rendering some homeless. 6 months after the disaster, the future looks bleak as the government is yet to announce resettlement and compensation plans. In an upcoming Joy News documentary, Life After the Floods, some of them tell Joy News how rebuilding and survival after the floods has become extremely difficult.
This is where I used to stay with my family.
Okay.
Yeah, so for now, the status of it is not even looking nice for you. As yourself, you can see.
Okay.
There's no one in because I'm the one. I'm now living with my sister.
Okay.
Yeah. It's very, very painful anytime when I get here. That's why if you can even see, there's no cleaning. Because when I get there, when I see things, then I don't know what to touch. I don't even know where to start from. So yeah, I feel very sad.
I and Lou, I'm having cassava for about 10 acres, and the others, they are having. In Siko right now, if you go to the farm top, everything turn to firewood. All our cassava turn to firewood, and we can't afford our life together. Why are we going? And up to now, the village is not saying, telling anything about our life. How are we going to survive?
The flood scattered everything mm-hmm. because of the spirit. Mm-hmm. The piglets all died. It take them away. Mm-hmm. And nothing remains.
So at the time you had about how many pigs in here?
I have about 85. I'm very much annoyed with the area. And we are not hearing anything from them. My house collapsed and we are all at Agbetipu camp there. We at the tent
where we are not getting it easy at all.
I'm a Madonna, I'm a Kai. I'm in Yella senior. The Anka Akwa Alafama, a ton Emma, the Kama. Tama in Yama, Fibokatama, Akrafato Tonto, Naman Yemen.
Join News Hotline documentary live after the flash airs on Monday, April 29, 2024. Let's take a break on Join News today. We'll be back. Welcome to the business segment on JN Today with me, Emma Davis. Ghana needs to reassess some investment policies to attract more foreign investors. This is according to some Turkish manufacturing sector players. They explained that the country can leverage the global economic crisis strategically to boost the local economy. According to the founder of WCI Forum, despite Ghana's positive investment climate, more needs to be done to support local businesses. He spoke to Joy Business at the 10th edition of the WCI Forum.
These investors want further engagement from the Ghana Investment Promotion Center to explore other opportunities from other sectors of the economy.
My first achievement, my first aim is to create new business link with Turkish and African traders. And Ghana is a very important hub for us because your democracy culture, your investment culture and your business culture is similar with Turkish companies. And also, I saw an opportunity here. And I invite small and medium entrepreneurs from Turkey to create new business line. If we can open a trade line between Turkish and Ghanaians, we can show that the second way, second step of this organization, the trade and collaboration and investment.
President of the Association of Ghana Industries, Dr. Amfri Nyimdak, has said the association will continue to promote value addition.
In Turkey, to accelerate an inclusive economic growth and development, it's our goal. And for AGI, as I walk through the stands, I appreciate the various factories that are lined up in aluminium. And I can see those in the textile area. I further could see those who are providing services in plastics and many more.
CIMAV Ghana has rewarded some 50 masons as part of its Can and Win Reloaded promotion. The company says the move is to give back to its stakeholders. Commercial manager for CIMAV Cement Company, Joseph Kwabna Abu, urged Ghanaians to take advantage of the promotion.
CIMAV Ghana, manufacturers of high-quality cement, has awarded its loyal distributors and customers in its promo. The promotion was introduced by the company to award masons who have collaborated with the company to ensure its sustainability. The commercial manager for CIMAV Cement, Joseph Kwabnabu, said the company will always put customers' needs first.
Masons are very important in our operations, and they form an integral part of cement activities. Of course, they are the last people who uses our products, and they can testify or determine whether the product is good or bad. And in other cases, they even go to the extent of advising their clients. The builders and the homeowners and other things are being advised by the masons about the type of cement they should use and other things. Of course, 2 years ago, we trained most of the masons, we trained 1,200 masons all over Ghana for them to be able to know the right application of the cement.
Some awardees expressed gratitude to the company for the gesture.
Scan and win, scan and win. I was CIMAV cement. And so yes, baby, I have a couple of maybe a CIMAV now. And the say, scan and win. There, yes, your cotton at the end of the year. Your money, we are almost on cement paper. Now I'm seeing no, so I'm confounded on cement paper. And there, Miko Juma, the blade half be beshem. So I'm sure cement, and my track code. to Mushia and Mitra, Omushia and Mitra. Mushia, Mitra, Sanko, Sitama, Minya target, Mikra, not my target in your moto, my target here, blood making machine. And I'm the Benya moto, Ntiampa, Mikra, not my car say a scam, and Koya scam.
CIMAV Ghana said it will continue to develop innovative cement products and services for the construction industry while maintaining excellent product performance.
That'll be all for business. I am Emma Davis. For more business news, do log on to myjoyonline.com. JNTD continues. Please stay.